As for Rush, being any kind of a constitutional expert, he probably wipes his ass with it. For the last 8 golden parachute years of Bush and Cheney, the Constitution's been gutted, crumpled up, and disregarded. Bush was no good, 3Ds conservatives yell. He spent just like a Democrat, liberal, commie punk. Bush spent because his Congress allowed him to. When he put together his budget, he cooked his books. By not including the high cost of maintaining a military in Iraq and Afghanistan, walk a careful tightrope, Barack Obama. Learn from Russia's mistakes. Afghanistan is a sinkhole, and you have no guarantee that anything good will come from it. The Taliban simply are and will outlive you. Nobody there really wants American-style democracy. You be the man, Michael Bachman purrs, hiking up her skirt. Take a good look at my leg. Do you like what you see? The Democrats in Congress have to step up, too. Where was their tenacity the last 8 years? Not visible or present. Nancy Pelosi tells Rachel Maddow, I couldn't comment on this because of the gag rule that disavows any kind of true debate on certain issues of so-called national security. Today, the nation is anything but secure. And I'm not particularly addressing terrorists or foreign policy. A widening recession that can easily become a depression is a form of terror. Being laid off with no place to run or hide can be terror. Legalize marijuana and tax it. Get the troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan. Tax church property. You'll get revenues for your cities and towns. Funnel it into education and health care. The high incidence of high school dropouts and teenage suicide is another version of terror. Michelle Bachman rubs Joel the non-plumber's head. She rubs it strong because she's the woman. The genie escapes out of Joel's noggin. It's a mite confused. The bone structure of the country needs a strong splint. Rush lifts the Constitution up to his ego. The resulting heat burns it to cinders. You are the man, Michael. You are the woman, Michelle. Go then into the wilderness and procreate. Your party is out of gas. Tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, the zombies moan. Time to clarify your busted knees. Time to change your tires. You rock my world, Michael, Michelle whispers, as Rush runs around to any woman he can get close to asking, why don't you love me? Russia sent Obama a get-well card. Afghanistan, yet, it's saying. Reckon we can send Rambo back there. This time he'll finish the work. Oh, the glorious, exciting work. It keeps piling higher toward the stars. The stars surreptitiously appear sometimes. Grab your own personal favorite. Swing on it as you've never swung before. It's hip-hop, Daddy, and the path ahead may be clear, but it's scary and narrow. It's a long way down, Mama. Push Rush off first, as he's the only good American left. It might take him days to hit the bottom. Obama will fail because Rush dictates it. The country will burn. You be the man, Michael, the munchkins sing. Where on the yellow brick road to see the wizard of tax cuts? Wear comfortable shoes. There will be pain. And I wrote that listening to David Olney's Illegal Cargo.
Great piece, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
Great piece. I'm going to do the traditional beatnik finger pop. Hold on.
Okay.
Groovy, no, really, I love that. I love that piece.
Oh, cool.
Scott, you know, I try and think I'm aware of things. I'm not familiar. I know about all the other people, but who is Michelle Bachman?
Michelle Bachman is a representative in the House from Minnesota.
Oh.
And back during the election, during the steamy election, she really put her foot in her mouth on Hardball with Chris Hardball, Chris Matthews' show.
Right.
She got up and said, well, she was sitting down, but she told Chris point blank, I think the liberals in Congress should be investigated by the FBI to see if they're good Americans. They need to be investigated.
Oh,
Matthews,
yeah.
Said, you sure you want to say that? Are you sure you want to say that? I'm going to let you think about it. No, I want to say that. The liberals need to be investigated to see if they're good Americans. They're not good Americans. And so Matthews said, are you sure you want, okay. And then she took heat for saying that, and she said, well, I was set up by Chris Matthews. I was set up. And you're looking at this thing. No, you weren't. He gave you 3 chances to back off and take an out, and you didn't do it. And then she apparently the Republican National Committee decided not to fund her reelection. They didn't care. They wanted to, and she still got reelected. And then recently she was in the news again because she was talking about the STEM bill and ACORN and this and that and all this other stuff. And she was just like, once again, out in public, spewing or whatever, not thinking about what she was spewing. And it just got, and she was at this recent gathering, this thing where Michael Steele, and she actually said, because Michael Steele said he was going to try and get the hip-hop vote, you be the man, Michael, you the man. And I said,
oh my
okay,
God,
this is too funny, this is where this poem's going to take off. So.
Well, you know, it's funny, I heard Michael Steele on Tavis Malley's show about 2 weeks ago, and it's interesting because he was talking pretty hip with Tavis, you know, and I'm thinking, this guy doesn't sound like a Republican. But then I think 2 days later, I saw a picture of him, and he looked like a nerdy black Republican.
Well, you know, he apparently told somebody.
And I can say that because I'm black.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, and you're certainly not nerdy. But it was really funny because apparently, I guess he thought he was on Smooth River Ride, you know, and then he told somebody, I guess it was, I don't know who it was, Larry King, somebody. He said, Rush is just an entertainer. Rush is not that important. Rush is not that. Rush didn't like that. Rush
Michael Steele said
this? Radio show. He said, Michael Steele should get back with the people and quit going around trying to get a name in the paper and trying to get publicity. He doesn't know the Republicans like I do. And oh, boy. And then Michael Steele apologized to Rush Limbaugh. I mean,
oh
basically,
my God.
He's hapless. He's like, and now people are asking for him to step down from this job. And I think the only reason they gave him the job was they wanted to have a black guy of their own. And
right.
Obama's black, so the Republicans would say, we have a black guy, too. It's Michael Steele. And he basically, and now, you know, he's been getting a lot of heat, and Rush did not like that tone. He just, and so I wrote a subsequent poem called You Be Not the Man, you know. It's like, who is, I mean, the Republicans are leaderless right now. I mean, it's going to.
Oh, no, they're not. According to Air America's Mike Malloy, you ever listen to Mike?
No, I should listen to Air America more often.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have problems with Air America, but Mike Malloy, he comes on every night at 8, and
well,
I love
it. Yeah, I get my fix to the media. I get it through Keith and Rachel, but Rachel's Air America. Go ahead, yeah.
No. What I was going to say, according to my man Mike Malloy, the Republican Party is not leaderless. Their leaders are Joe the Plumber, Sarah Palin, and Rush Limbaugh.
Well, then they are leaderless. Joe the Plumber is, like I said, a non-entity. He's one of the. I can't believe that guy is still getting press. Getting, you know, it's just amazing that. Samuel Wurzelbach is his real name, or something. Wurzelbacher? I mean, let's call it. And he's not even a plumber? Yeah, okay. He didn't pay taxes? Okay. Amazing.
Do you think he tried to set Obama up at that first time he met Obama? Do you think
it looked that way? I mean, if you see the actual uncut thing, Obama really is engaging in him with him in a discussion, and it looks like he doesn't want to listen to it. But and you see it in the sound bites, and it looks like concerned plumber being blown off by a Democrat. But
yeah.
If you look at the uncut, unedited thing, Obama spent like 15, 20 minutes with this guy trying to talk to him or answer his needs and let him know that he wasn't out to wipe him out or tax him into oblivion. You know, what about, you know, I mean, he really was trying to talk to the guy. And then you get the sense from the Republican when they showed, here was a guy who had a real legit question and he got blown off by Obama. And you know, it's not the. And yeah, I think Joe the Plumber, I don't know what he is, I don't know where he came from. And he could very well be a plant. I mean, McCain could, because McCain used him in that debate.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Well, that's where it became. And then it got to the point where the absurdity, when you had Sarah Palin, hey, we got Joe the Plumber and Nick the Green Grocer and Eddie the Haberdasherer and Mary the Nurse and, you know, Jimmy the Moron. I mean, you know, I mean, we could do that all night. I mean, give me a break. And so what is the basic bottom line of all this? Joe the Plumber, this is McCain, says he had no clue, you know, says, and then he shows up at this, and that's why the Republicans are floundering. But they bring somebody like him in to talk to them about issues, like he knows what the hell's going on. I mean, this is not the Republican Party of William Buckley Jr. and the intellectuals anymore. I mean, the quote, right-wing intellectuals, they're gone. I mean, they're not in evidence. And then the Congress is a bunch of guys standing around going, no, tax cuts, no,
yeah.
Tax cuts, no. And you look at these guys and earmarks, no. And then you find out, oh, yeah, what about your earmarks? You guys have earmarks all over the place. I mean, Claire McCaskill was great the other last week. She says, oh, yeah, you're angry at earmarks. Well, what about all these earmarks that belong to you guys? I mean, come on, man, let's just be honest. And basically they said it. They just want Obama to fail. They don't care about the country. They don't care if people are laid off. They don't care. They want to get elected. They want to have elections go their way in 2010, and they would like to see Obama fail, and that's all they want.
And,
right,
Scott,
now,
to show you how uneven this whole political thing is in our country, can you imagine if a famous, not someone like Mike Malloy, but a really famous, quote-unquote, liberal DJ made that same remark that Rush did about wanting Obama to fail.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, then let's, you know, want Bush to fail. Yeah, after 9/11. Yeah, I hope Bush fails in Iraq. Yeah, right.
Think of somebody like what, Overman, or yeah, had made a statement like that.
Yeah, and they'd be calling for his head on
the my
block.
God, yeah.
And then, you know, what's with all these, like Karl Rove, getting subpoenaed by Congress and not showing up, and finally he shows up. I mean, this is like the third or fourth time. If you and I get a subpoena from Congress, we don't show up. They come and lock us up, man.
If we get a subpoena from the L.A. City Council and we don't show up.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Listen, everybody, we're talking to Scott Wahlberg, and I'm sorry, Scott, I got to introduce you again because I had to stop and restart the archive. So
that's
I only
the
got
world, man. Stop.
Well, listen, I only got half of that fucking beautiful poem.
Oh, okay.
Can you just do one or two really, like, I know you don't want to go do another long one, not unless you want to, but maybe.
I can do anything you want, man.
Can we get one more poem?
Yeah, okay. I found the one I was going to do.
And this is the last poem we're going to ask you to do.
Okay, well, that's cool, because, you know, this is the one I was going to try and find, and the one about the driver. So, I mean, so here we go. This is Suicide River, my first Florence poem.
Scott Wahlberg.
I'm riding the $2 all-day Florence Roadie Express bus, where Mike the driver knows everyone by their first name. You pretty much see the same folks riding. Most popular destinations are Safeway, Grocery Outlet, and Freddie Myers. Temporarily, Mike stops at Safeway. Up ahead, I see the regular Florence taxi driven by another Mike, who sometimes subs on the Roadie Express. Look, it's the other Mike, I say. My Mike then tells me the other Mike's son is in the hospital, that at the old age of 17 or 18, he tried to kill himself. The air momentarily gets put on hold. I try to get my head around the image of life being so unbearable for somebody so young, they try to take themselves out of the game before the two-minute warning. Just the other night, Obama, in his non-State of the Union speech, which resembled a State of the Union speech, said we need to get education up and running because our future is in the hands of our young. That way too many kids are not even finishing high school. I dumbly ask if anyone knows why the kid tried it. Mike doesn't know. I speculate if the other Mike knows why his son attempted it. Sometimes when you break up with the one you feel should love you, the burden gets so mentally heavy, you lose your backbeat. I knew a great guy full of energy. When a woman rejected his feelings for her, he shot and killed himself. There are so many ways to die. 17 and 18-year-olds should be strutting and taking no prisoners. Once the life expectancy of man was somewhere in the 40s, now it's somewhere in the 70s and usually beyond. The other Mike's son lives despite his intent. Will he try it again? What does this do to the chemistry of the family? Will the merry-go-round ground to a halt and its horses all become dog food? I didn't even ask my Mike if the kid left a note since he survived. Was it a suicide attempt meant as a warning, or did he really mean to take the leap and just landed a few inches short of the edge? The bus ride began innocent enough, but now as I get off at my stop, I begin to feel a chill. Someone else on the bus said, the incidences of teenagers killing themselves is way up. There's something amiss in the drinking water. There are scratches on the CD. If the future is really in our young, they need to get past their teens. There used to be a place in storytelling called Lover's Leap. No black boxes ever found in such wreckage. I look up at my little piece of Florence sky. Today it's blue and clear. But storm clouds can and do come in from the sea awful fast, and it can all change its clothes in a few seconds. There must be a long waiting room in heaven, wherever that might be, where suicides sit waiting for their interview, something like the unemployment office. You take a number, and when the guard calls it, you tell them just why you had to take your hand out of the game. Certain religions frown on it. Others seemingly don't care. Teenagers need to roar and tumble, not put themselves in body bags. They can go to war for that. I turn my living room light on. I remember I'm no teenager anymore. Knock on wood, Mr. Scott. The edge never appealed to me. The dark water never rose that high. If our future, if we really have one, is in our young, they need to be able to take the heat a little better, because the heat is always going to be there. And then the big freeze, the big heat, the big freeze. They don't often make allowances for appearance or age. If the other Mike's son was standing before me, I'd hug him and tell him, please hang on. I don't know what's eating you up, but hopefully it'll get indigestion and spit you out. I guess I'm lucky. It hasn't got that dark in my bloodstream just yet. Doesn't mean it might not one day get there, but not now and seemingly never. Nothing is ever as it seems. They used to say poets killed themselves a lot. Not everyone can be Hart Crane, Anne Sexton, Sylvia Plath. That room can, at times, be alluring, but you need to keep your wits about you, even if you don't have any. The world will ram its body into you, a metaphysical slam dance. You gotta roll with it or go under. I hope the other Mike's son can step back a few feet from that inviting edge and take a slow, deep breath. We're going to need him to keep us in the dance. We're going to need him to help show us the way.
Beautiful, Scott. Everybody, again, you've been listening on my show, Straight Ahead, on Keel Radio, to L.A. beat poet, now Oregon beat poet, Scott Wahlberg. Scott, that was beautiful.
Okay.
Listen, I just want to bring up one more topic with you now that we're...
Anything you want to do, man.
Well, I just remembered, man, you're calling from up here, so we're going to end this in a few minutes, but...
Oh, whatever, I'm fine.
Well, but I want to talk to you about... I hear you're one of the few people on the West Coast who knows about this Dick Cheney, Allen Ginsberg, Walt Disney episode.
Yeah, that three-way episode.
Yeah.
That was pretty strong. Actually, I was invited, but I couldn't make it. Well, you know, Dick was always into beat poetry. He just didn't tell George. And he was also into mouse ears a lot, and he liked mice.
Oh, my God.
And there was that secret room at Disneyland where, you know, the adults go. I mean, yeah, and I know that it got pretty hot and heavy on Tom Sawyer's Island for a while, and then they had to close Tom Sawyer's Island down because of the evidence. But, Dick put the mouse ears on, and, well, you know, his heart's never been the same.
Now, does this have anything to do with that they say there's a power pack that Dick Cheney wears?
And, yeah.
And Bush has the switch.
Yeah. And Ginsberg wanted to put the mantra in the power pack, and then the power pack would have opened up the secret door to the inner soul, and then everybody would have gone down the ladder into the, you know, the om of it all.
Oh, my God.
As Ginsberg used to say, om of it all, but what he was trying to say was Uma Thurman of it all, but he just forgot. And then Dick said, yeah, man, I could do the Buddhist thing, too. I can just sit under the tree or in the tree and contemplate my navel while, you know, the world goes up in flames because terror sucks and I'm a strong man.
And also, there's rumors that, did you hear about those nuclear warheads that went missing about a year ago? There's rumors that Dick Cheney might have those, and he's keeping them hidden in Allen Ginsberg's crypt. So,
right, yeah, because, you know, There's a secret passage in Al that Dick Cheney likes to refer to, especially when it comes to Moloch. And Moloch actually is Dick's nickname from school because, you know, he was very intense when he was younger. And they'd say, Moloch, Cheney, Moloch, come on, baby. And he said, well, you know, the nuclear warheads would really look good in Alan's coffin because, you know, Alan was in the supermarket looking at Walt Whitman and... he said, well, you know, all that fruit looks like a nuclear warhead. I'm going to put it in there, and then we're going to save all beat poets from themselves by, you know, engaging the rockets.
I love it. I love it. And on that note, everybody, we're going to end this conversation. I got a good 30 minutes of Scott Wahlberg on Keel Radio Archive.
Cool.
Scott, we're going to go out with some Thelonious Monk.
Great, man.
I love you, brother.
Oh, I love you, too.
And... We're going to have, in a couple weeks, we're going to have part two of the Ginsburg-Cheney episode.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah, man.
So, I'm going to end this phone call. We're going to, let me bring up some Thelonious Monk in the background.
Man. Okay.
While you're still on here.
Oh, yeah, Monk, yeah.
Oh, let me see. As you can tell, I'm in a better mood now.
Cool, man.
Let me see. Okay, here we come with Thelonious Monk.
All right.
And Scott, I'm going to hang up on you.
All right.
I love you, bro.
Okay, I love you too, man.
Scott Wahlberg, everybody. I'll see
Hello,
you, Scott.
Everybody. All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, for the past, let me see. Well, you just heard the great Take Five by the Dave. That was the actual Dave Brubeck Quartet recorded at a in Concord. Do you know that was the first? This was the first CD I ever owned in my life. A friend of mine gave it to me in the late 70s. Yeah. The Dave Brubeck Quartet, Concord on a summer night. That was Dave Brubeck live at a live concert. Famous Take Five. But before that, we were listening to Thelonious Monk. We listened to Mr. Thelonious Monk for about a good 10 minutes after I talked to Scott. And yes, we were talking to beat poet, Los Angeles, now Oregon beat poet, Scott Wahlberg earlier in the show. I was having a lot of technical difficulties. I don't think I actually got on the air with Scott until about 12. No, not until like about 1 o'clock. And then I didn't get the archive going until maybe like quarter after 1. So I apologize for all that. I think I got a good 30 minutes with Scott. I'm going to try and get him back on the show in a couple weeks. Again, thank you so much, Scott, for staying up. Okay. So this is Hassan. This show is called Straight Ahead on Kill Radio every Monday night. And again, this is Thelonious Spears Monk in the background. And let's go back into Mr. Monk. And then I'm going to probably, I might put on Iris Berry or Lee Morgan. I have a lot of stuff here with me. I'm actually going to stick around a little longer because I had so much technical difficulty earlier. Okay, let's go back into Thelonious Monk here on here at Straight Ahead on killradio.org. Give us a call, 213-413-8004. Yeah, call me and let me know if you heard the interview with Scott. Okay, I'm anxious to know that. I'm wondering. Give me a call here at Kill Radio, 213. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. I just gave you my home number. No. The phone number here at Kill Radio is 213-252-0998. Okay? The phone number here at Kill Radio is 213-252-0998. Please do not call my house. Okay, bye. Let's go back to Thelonious Monk. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listening to Maestro Jimmy Smith and Maestro Wes Montgomery in the background. I love this CD. My name is Hassan. I'm going to sign off. This is a pretty long archive. I just didn't want to cut it in half. Okay, so this is KillRadio.org. We were honored and graced tonight to have beat poet Scott Wahlberg on. I apologize for all the technical difficulties at the beginning. It irritates me. This is KillRadio.org. This show is called Straight Ahead. I might not be in next week, but I'll be in the week after next. We're going to do another call-in with Scott, probably, so he can finish the Dick Cheney, Allen Ginsberg story, because we all want to find out what happened in that bunker with Dick Cheney and Allen Ginsberg. So let's go back to Wes Montgomery and Jimmy Smith, and we're going to fade out when this song goes off, and I will see you guys maybe next week. Okay, take care, and I love ya. Thank you.